9 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. All across the valley, Palisade Junction, Fruita, Fruitvale, Appleton. People are going, where the heck is that? You and I know where that is.
Pear Park.
Does that leave out Pear Park? That's 101.1 FM 1340. For the folks in Delta and all the way up into Hotchkiss and Crawford, Paonia, 102.1.
Olathe.
You know, of course, we have a big change up in that part of the country with Paonia High School going away.
Yeah.
Merging with Hotchkiss.
Sure, that'll be fun for the old rivals.
I saw that and made me sad.
Mm-hmm.
Great rivalry, a lot of pride in both those schools. But
if we had to merge with Junction back in the day, I'd be like, you know what? GED sounds fine.
GED?
GED.
GED. It's like
instead of a diploma.
Whoa, settle down. Settle down, sport. Come on.
You know, if we got to merge with Junction, take a test. Back
in the day, I was like right on the border. I could have gone to either school.
Same here.
But I went to Fruita Junior High.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of friends that went to Grand Junction. And they're like, come on, man.
What happened to those guys? Come
to Junction. You know, come on, man.
Yeah.
And I did. I thought about it for a while. I did. I thought about it. And I said, you know, I had a lot of friends at Fruita. And so ended up going to Fruita or staying at Fruita and worked out fine.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, worked out.
But I feel bad for, because there's tradition there. There's history and there's rivalry with Paonia and Hotchkiss.
Now merging.
Now merging.
It's going to be weird.
Yeah, but 102.1 for Delta and Montrose.
That was the original point we were making.
Right, that's where we're going, was where we're our coverage area, 102.1. Thanks for joining us today. Anthony Gillich, the coach of the number one team in the latest NJCAA Division I baseball poll, Central Arizona.
The Vaqueros.
Will be joining us in just a little bit. We'll also have In the Garage of NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. They finally got on the muddy old dirt at Bristol after it got rained out on Sunday. So we'll talk about that coming up with the guys later on, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Let's see, got one from Bronco Freak this morning. Rockies record 104-58. Peeps, it depends on the flavor. My favorite peeps are lemon flavored. Sounds like I'm at odds with the others.
Man, on all of it.
Bronco Freak, if they could do that, the Rockies could do that. I tell you what, I think you and I, we would buy Bronco Freak lunch, right? If they won 104 games?
Yeah.
I would easily do that. I would, wherever you want to go, I'll buy you lunch, man. Because I don't think that's ever going to happen.
If they win 104 games by June 1st of next year, not counting postseason and spring training, I would be shocked.
Yeah, I just, that's very much a Dick Munford-like pick. Bronco Freak. I want to be optimistic. I want to believe that they can challenge in the West. They're just not going to.
Right.
Dodgers are stacked. Padres are stacked. And just even getting the wild card. The National League East is going to be, it's going to be tough. And we talked about that, you know, that there was some feeling that the American League Central is maybe the best division, just, you know, from a competitive standpoint. I agree with you. I think it's the National League East. Mets, Braves, Nationals aren't going to suck. Miami didn't suck last year. That division's just...
The AL Central's going to be very top-heavy with Minnesota and Chicago. Cleveland is the third-best team, but they're kind of in a no-man's land. They're in a land by themselves. I don't think the Royals are going to be very good. Tigers aren't going to be very good.
No. But I came across that where somebody was saying that was maybe the most competitive division. I'm like, really? What about the National League East? What about the American League East? Rays will be really good again.
Yeah.
Yankees will. I mean, the Yankees are a favorite. I mean, Rays went to the World Series last year.
Yeah.
You know, Toronto made some moves. George Springer going to start out, though, on the injured list for the Blue Jays. You know, how good is Baltimore going to be? I don't know. How good is Boston going to be?
Probably not very good.
The
West, Oakland, Houston,
pretty competitive.
Angels, maybe?
Rangers, no.
Rangers, no. Seattle, probably not.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look around that maybe, you know, the National League Central is going to be, I think, fairly competitive with the Cubs, the Cardinals,
yeah,
the Brewers. But then after that, Pirates?
No.
I think it might be the National League East.
The Pirates may not even win the International League this year.
Probably not. I just look at the National League East and go, man, that's...
They were the only division last year to have their last place team within 9 games of first place.
Yeah. Because you could say maybe the Phillies, and that wouldn't be an inaccurate thing to predict them to maybe win that division.
Or get a wild card.
Or at least be in contention for a wild card. I mean, clearly, the Braves are the favorite to win that division.
Yeah.
Mets will challenge. The Mets are going to challenge strongly for a wild card. They'll be a wild card team. I really think Nats are going to be competitive when you've got Scherzer and Strasburg. You know, they've lost some offensive pieces the last few years, but they got Juan Soto, who's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that
Patrick Corbin, John Lester.
Yeah.
Lester's older, but he's not going to have to be the ace of that staff.
They got a really good rotation.
Trey Turner, Juan Soto.
Yeah, Trey Turner's still one of the young and up-and-coming guys in the league. Rocky killer Trey Turner.
Super utility man Josh Harrison is with them now.
Got a text from Chuck today. Rockies go 60-102. I'm not that down on them, but
close.
We're not that far off. No. We're not. Chuck, you and I are closer on that than Bronco Freak and myself are, or you, Buckeye, for that matter.
Yeah.
MVP Josh Fuentes, I guess, tie to Nolan Arenado, his cousin. Peeps can go to hell. Ooh, Chuck.
Wow, strong language.
Wow, Chuck.
I don't disagree, but man.
Chuck, what do those peeps ever do to you?
They tasted awful. That's what they did.
I don't like them, but man, I've never... Some strong language.
You know what the problem is? Cheeps were peep, or beeps were cheap.
Something like that.
Screw that up.
Just don't say circus pets, okay?
So the parents would be like, oh, this is cheap candy for the kids. And so you'd get peeps, and you're like, there's no, like, Snickers fun size.
Yeah.
There's no Mr. Good bars in here.
What about Cadbury eggs? I'm okay with them. It's not like, ooh, I got to have one. It's like, you're okay.
I don't lose my mind over them.
I don't either.
I'll eat one every once in a while.
I don't either. Anything Reese's, though. Reese's rabbit, whatever. Anything Reese's, sign me up. It's a taste, chocolate, and peanut butter together. How could you not love that? At least that's my opinion, anyway. All right. We have somebody on the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone.
We do. Calvin called in a little earlier, but we were getting busy near the end of the hour, so
okay.
We called back.
All right, very good. Calvin, thanks for coming back. I appreciate that. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Driving to Green River, Utah.
All right.
So not great, but okay.
For business or pleasure, I'm assuming business if you're going to Green River, right? Or is there...
Yeah, business.
Business.
They do have a nice golf course.
That is true. They do have a nice
golf course. Got a good Arby's
there.
And a gas station there, too.
So I got to tell Rio that... Okay, candy corn and peanuts, if you put peanuts in with your candy corn, it's awesome.
I don't want to do that to peanuts, though.
No, we're not talking about the circus peanuts, right? Those marshmallow things.
No.
You're talking about regular
peanuts.
Okay.
Planter peanuts and candy corn, you mix them together, it's awesome tasting. It's like a payday.
Really? Okay.
So if you want to try that.
I like a good payday bar.
Yeah, I'm neither here nor there on the payday bar. Don't hate them, don't love them. So I'm ambivalent on that. Okay.
Yeah, and then the other thing on basketball, we've been watching. You know, I've been watching the March Madness. Does it seem like every one of the players, every time they have the ball?
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said it seems like they travel because I used to referee. You probably remember me.
Oh, sure, of course, Calvin. Yeah.
It seems like they travel every time they get the ball. I mean, it's a double. I mean, just me watching.
Seems like the officials give a lot of grace, right?
Yeah,
it seems to me like you're...
Sometimes that jab step is like, that didn't look right.
I'd say, wait a minute, look, you traveled there. Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that's, I mean, obviously you officiate a lot of high school basketball. And so, yeah, I tend to agree with you on that. I think that, like I said, they're very generous on what's a travel now.
Yeah.
Or what isn't a travel.
That's what I thought. Yeah, what is a travel now?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, I'll let you guys go. Have a great day.
Calvin,
thanks, Calvin.
Well, thank you, Calvin. Drive safely, okay? Have a safe trip to Green River, and have a happy Easter, too.
And I have one thing for real.
Sure.
Have him, you need to play Baby Shark for Jim.
I don't think he'll do it. I don't know. We'll see, Calvin.
I don't know.
He may not do it.
It's a long weekend. I can't have that stuck in my head the whole time.
Baby Shark. Okay. Hey, thanks, Calvin. Appreciate it. Have a safe trip today to Utah.
But don't assimilate. Turn around and come back.
Come back to the fold.
Green River has a great golf course, but we got like five of them.
Come back to the mother country here. Yeah. Come back to the Western Slope. Yeah.
Good Arby's in a game.
Nobody's mentioned the Baby Shark thing in a long time.
Well, Gerardo Parra is national.
With the Nationals, which I thought was kind of fun. They had fun with it. And I have no problem with team having fun.
Yeah. I'm fine with it.
Remember the Angels with the boomsticks?
Yeah. Well, that's what we said the Rockies were missing in 2019 was a Gerardo Parra-type guy to let them know. They're like, hey, this is fun.
We can have a good time here, guys. We can have fun playing. We can get paid to play and have some fun doing this, too.
Right.
They don't really have anybody on that roster like that. They didn't then. Charlie is kind of like that, but he's so quirky that...
He's an odd guy.
He's not a boisterous fun guy.
No. And what is when it's baseball time, it's baseball time. When it's time to go to work, it's time to be serious.
Right.
He's not going to be the fun in the dugout guy.
Just not him. That's just not how he's wired.
No.
Though I love the commercial leads. I forget which company it's for. Where he's climbing through the air duct and...
Toyota?
It might be Toyota. Yeah. Those are kind of funny commercials, but you're right. He's not that kind of guy. He's not just this gregarious, fun guy. He's pretty serious, quirky, but he's a pretty serious guy.
And you have to know Charlie, right? You can't be like CJ Cron walk in and start joking around with Charlie. You have to know Charlie. His best friend plays for the Yankees. His other really good friend, Cargo's no longer there. So he's kind of on an island by himself.
Right. All of his bros are gone, and now, okay, Trevor and him bros. They're probably friends to some degree,
yeah. But also, not a super, I'm going to have a lot of fun guy in Trevor. His commercial that he did, even with Plesac stealing all of his stuff because he's really fast for MLB Network.
Right.
Really wouldn't. It's like, this guy doesn't joke around a lot.
It's so funny. It almost sounds like an oxymoron. He's a quirky, serious guy.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Trevor's not as quirky, but they're both like serious as a heart attack guys.
Got a text from Sean O this morning. It's been a while since Sean's texted. The nice thing about our text line, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340, hasn't sent a text since February 9th. It's been a long time.
Wow. Where's he been?
I don't know, Sean. And that was one that we couldn't read, by the way.
Yeah, nobody works that hard.
He's asking, am I an admitted racist? Do I like Reese's peanut butter cups? Yes. Are you trying to go some different direction with that? I'm thinking so.
Yeah.
Do you know where he's going? Because I'll be honest.
I don't. But I was reading the last text he sent.
Yeah.
I very much wish we could read some of those.
But there's no way. If we couldn't read Steve's the other day, you think we could read Sean's one that he sent back on February 9th? No.
Steve's was great, though. Sean's is good.
But even Sean said, he texted back, he's like, not for an on-air
read. Don't read that on air.
No problem, Sean.
Well, understood.
We were not going to read that on the air. Trust me.
Don't have to tell us twice. Even out of context, I don't remember what we were talking about, but that's funny.
But that is funny. It's just, that's one of the fun things about the
text line. Chick-fil-A, we can see all this stuff.
You know, team text line, phone line that you can send us pictures and gifts and stuff like that too.
If you want to.
If you choose to do so. 970-242-1340. All right, we'll go in the garage and NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's coming up in a few minutes. But we'll take a break right now. Coming up next, Anthony Gilich, the coach of the number one team in Division I JUCO baseball.
Yeah.
Central Arizona. He'll join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Before we do that, do we want to play the Pyle's favorite game?
That's true. Thank you. Pyle's favorite game on a Thursday, which thanks for reminding
me. Yeah, I was just reading the rundown.
Which is your chance to win what today?
We got ourselves some Junction Square. Small antipasto salad, courtesy of Junction Square.
Been doing their Detroit-style deep-dish pizza since 1977, 7th and Main, Junction Square Pizza.
Absolutely. I helped the Rockies beat the Mets in Colorado's first-ever opening day win. Larry Walker, Andres Galarraga, and Dante Bichette all drove me home over different parts of that day. And I scored the tying run in Dante's dinger. Who is it?
All right. First correct answer, 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340. First correct answer, if you've won the last 2 weeks, you have to sit it out. You win that antipasto salad, small antipasto salad to Junction Square Pizza, located at 7th and Main. So text in right now, 970-242-1340, 970-242-1340. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado Sports Leader.
They're a lot of fun.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
On Colorado Sports Leader, the team.
Welcome back, 920. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the team. Sports Network, still time to get your predictions in. On wins for the Rockies, who'll be their best pitcher this year? Surprise player, best positional player. Also, since Easter's coming up on Sunday, peeps or no peeps? Text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Joining us right now on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, his team captured the 2019 Junior College World Series title with a 13-8 win over Iowa Western. We didn't play it last year. Hopes to get his Vaqueros back this year. Right now, the number one team in JUCO baseball, Central Arizona coach Anthony Gilich. Anthony, we appreciate the time. How are you doing today?
Jim, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks for having me.
Well, it seems like it's been years, right? It seems like it's been 5 years since you guys won the 2019 Junior College World Series championship. Got wiped out last year. How have you handled and guided your program through what was a very tough 2020 for everybody that coached and played in JUCO baseball?
Yeah, we're no different than anybody else. We tried to find a bunch of unique ways to, keep our guys working and keep our guys engaged. And, in Arizona, we weren't allowed to have fall baseball this year either. And so not only did we lose majority of our spring, summer was shut down, and then we weren't allowed to have a fall either. And so we had quite a long break, but like I said, we tried to find creative ways, different ways to communicate, different ways to teach. And I think in the long run, it probably developed us as coaches because it forced us to learn other ways to, keep hitting guys better. And so, but our guys were certainly anxious to get back on the field when we were allowed.
Anthony Gilich, coach of the number one team in the nation, defending Junior College World Series champion. Anthony Gilich, coach of Central Arizona, with us on the program today. And when you talk about some of the adjustments you and your staff had to make, Anthony, because of COVID, what's the number one thing that you did? Do you feel like, man, okay, that initially, because sometimes, it's, you have to be creative, right? Like a lot of coaches did, and you referenced that a little bit, but what was the one thing you went, okay, we weren't sure that was going to work, but hey, maybe this is something that we're going to do from here on forward. Has there been something that you, way you've approached working with your players that's going to kind of stick for you going forward?
Yeah, we kind of, for the lack of a better term, we kind of dumbed down the program and just we cut out some of the stuff that maybe we didn't need as many, defensive pick plays or offensive, chaos type plays. And so we just tried to focus more on the basics, get really good at those. And so far, it's paying off for us because we're handling the ball really well. We're putting balls in play. And so it's just a little bit more, just straight up baseball. We don't screw as many up because we don't have as many things to screw up.
Kiss thing. Keep it simple, stupid kind of thing, or I just keep it very basic.
That's kind of the approach we went for. And so, you know, we're trying to focus on just the basics and get really good at those things. So far it's working. So, I mean, moving forward, I mean, we might version of that moving forward. And, you know, so like I said, we're working, and we'll see if we can stack some things in there as we go.
Anthony Gilich, coach of Central Arizona, defending Junior College World Series champions, joining us on the program. And as I mentioned, you're the number one team in the nation right now. And when you look at it, you know, in terms of how you've won games this year, sometimes your offense, your bats have bailed you out. Sometimes your pitchers have been able to go out and keep games close and give you a chance to win when the bats have not been there for you. You've won a lot of baseball games already this season in a variety of ways.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. I mean, sometimes pitching has bailed us out. Sometimes the hitting has bailed us out. And so, you know, we kind of use the term, you know, there's a million different ways to win. We just got to find one. And so, you know, we do that every day. And sometimes it's going to be a 1-0 game. Sometimes it's going to be an 11-10 game. And sometimes you're going to kick the ball around, or you're going to run the bases great, or, you know, whatever it is. And so, you know, we got to get better, but you never got to apologize for a win. And so, you know, our guys are doing a good job of that. We're finding ways to do it. So, like I said, we have a couple more games this week. We find a couple more ways to win.
Anthony Gilich, coach of Central Arizona, defending JUCO champs, number one team in the nation right now, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Right now in the Arizona Community College Athletic Conference, your team is undefeated, 20-0. You're 30-0 on the season. And let's, you know, talk about some of the guys that you have right now from an offensive standpoint. You've been doing a really nice job, .325 batting average. And a guy that's played really well, had done a nice job at the plate for you, the freshman J.D. McLaughlin, so far this season hitting .347. He's knocked in 33, which leads your team in that category. He's also hit 5 home runs, which is second best on the team. McLaughlin's had a really sensational start for you.
Yeah, he is super athletic. I mean, just he I think he leads our team in stolen bases as well, and maybe the conference. And so just really athletic. You know, he was at Oregon State last year, and he's with us now. He also pitches. He's pitched a few innings for us. And so he just kind of can kind of do it all, and really competitive, kind of contagious to the team. I mean, he just, you know, really wants to win. He really wants to compete. He wants to perform and teammates to perform at a high level. And so it kind of a catalyst a little bit, I would say, for just, you know, motivating the guy. He's off to an excellent start. He's hitting in the 4-hole for most of the year, and then our 3-hole hitter pulled a hammy, and so he went into the 3-hole. And so, you know, either way, he's hitting in the middle of the order and doing a great job so far. He's a really good player.
He's the coach of the Central Arizona Vaqueros, number one team in the nation, defending Junior College World Series champions. Anthony Gilich joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. When we look at your pitching, like we said, you've won games with offense, you've won games with your pitching and defense. Hunter Olmedt has been great as a freshman starter for you, a 7-0 record, 1.65 ERA, which is sensational. And then Matt Olson, a redshirt freshman pitcher, has also been really good for you, 1.15 ERA as the best ERA of your starters so far, 6-0 record, and those two guys have led the way on the bump for you.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are both incredible. They both throw a ton of strikes. They're both attack hitters. Olson was actually on our team in 2019 when we won the national championship. He was a redshirt on that team. And so we went from redshirt in 2019 to ace in 2020 and ace again in 2021. And so he's had a unique story and put in a lot of hard work and made a big jump. And so he's done great for us. And then Hunter as well. Hunter was at Boise State last year, and they dropped their program, and so he needed a place to go, and he came here, and he's done great. He's going to Grand Canyon next year, and Olson's going to Arizona State, and so both of us have some great opportunities, you know, next year, but they're doing great for us right now for sure. Both those guys are really good pitchers, and you know, like I said, just attack the zone. They don't walk a lot of guys, which in junior college baseball or in any baseball is key, you know. So give up a lot of extra runners and you know, sometimes hits don't hurt them because there's nobody on base. And so they're doing a great job.
Anthony Gilich, coach of Central Arizona, the Vaqueros, joining us on the program today. And Anthony, of course, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played to get to Grand Junction to defend your Junior College World Series title. But we didn't get the, with no series last year, we didn't get the chance to have the first ever seeding of the tournament the day or two before the tournament began. We're going to have it this year, a chance to seed the tournament. If you're here, do you like that idea, seeing the tournament being seeded when you know teams fulfill their, you know, get through the season, the regular season, postseason, you know, district regional play, and get to Grand Junction? Do you like the idea of the tournament being seeded?
I do. I think it just makes it rewards people for having a great season, and so I do. I wish that they would add, the one thing that I would add is an at-large somehow, some way. I don't know how you would do it. I know the other sports do it, like basketball and NJCA does it, and some of the other sports. I think I've seen so many programs, you know, from Texas and Florida just have a great year and then maybe lose the wrong game and they don't get to make it, and so I think an at-large would be something that's interesting to consider. But I do like the seeded version, and it gives a little bit of excitement when you make it and you don't know exactly who you're playing. They reveal the bracket. I think that would be a kind of a fun experience for the guys and the coaches, and try to scramble around to see who you're playing. So I think that adds to the excitement. But, I mean, it's hard to improve JUCO. I mean, it's what an incredible experience. Just the whole city puts on, and Jamie Hamilton, everything down the line, the fans, and so. Those are some things that I think will enhance it for sure.
Anthony Gillich, coach of Central Arizona, joining us on the program today. And Anthony, I have to ask this question: Memorial Day weekend last year, 2020, what was Anthony Gillich doing that weekend?
I don't know. Not what I was hoping I was doing.
Right.
But I wasn't in Grand Junction. That's where I was. I mean, I think every junior college coach kind of earmarks that weekend for hopefully I'm not free that weekend. And so, it was a tough year. I mean, telling our guys in mid-March, we're off to a pretty good start, and just tell them the season's over, we had to turn in our uniforms, those kind of things, and just the looks on their faces. I mean, it was terrible. I mean, it was probably my worst moment as a coach, and I think, a lot of coaches around the country would agree with me, and it was a terrible moment. But with that, I think the appreciation for being on the field now has heightened for everybody. I mean, everybody's jacked and excited to be on the field just because they know it can be taken away from them.
Going back to 2019, when you won the title over Iowa Western, what's the memory or two that still comes to mind when you think about that tournament run and winning a title?
It's a little bit of cliche. I mean, we got hot at the right time. We were kind of a freight train down the – we were really talented and kind of struggled throughout the year, but just kind of got it going and got healthy and everything at the right time. And so many different guys – helping us win games, as you always need in a championship run, just guys, different guys that you don't expect to step up. And we had Mitch Dukovic, who was a redshirt at the beginning of the year, ended up throwing six innings in the national championship game in relief, and we were down 7-0 in the first inning. It's like neither of those things have ever happened, very often in baseball. And so, we got them both. And so, the whole run was unreal. And just what a great experience, and glad I got to share it with those guys. And we have a new team. We have a couple guys. I think we have like 8 or 9 guys that were on that team that are still on our team now. They've been through it and those things. But, I mean, I would love to share that experience with a new team.
Yeah, going back to that, the team, the 2019 team, Dukovic, obviously was great. But Lucas Knowles in that series as well, he went 7 1/3 for you in that series. So, Dakota Donovan. I mean, those are some of the names from a pitching standpoint that were big pieces for you guys winning the title in 2019.
Yeah, and like you said, it's funny. The guys who, I mean, we had Matt Olson's a redshirt. He's been our ace the last 2 years. We have Preston Godfrey, who was a redshirt on that team, and he hit in our 4-hole last year, and he's hitting like, 1 or 2-hole this year. And so guys that, and then we had Tyler Rosner, Leo Palacios, Mitch Dakota Carpenter. Those guys are all back on this year's team. And so they're all kind of role players at that point, and now they're big contributors now, and so it's kind of to see the transformation in their game, the improvement in their game, and now they're the Dakota Donovan, the Lucas Knowles, so to speak, it's their time to play a bigger role. So it's been exciting, and you know, these guys so far are doing a great job, and we're 30-0. But I mean, again, like I said, there's no at-large bid or anything like that. So we gotta, you know, gotta win the right games at the right time and stay healthy, and so we try to get after it here this weekend.
All right, Anthony, one final question for you. It's Easter related. Peeps.
Okay.
Yes or no to Peeps?
No to Peeps. No to Peeps. And I would can the Peeps, and I would go to almost anything other.
Right. Yeah, see, for me, I'm like Reese's Peanut Butter, like a Reese's Peanut Butter Bunny, sure.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. Well above, yeah. I'd maybe two before I ate a Peeps.
Hey, Anthony, have a happy Easter to you and your family and your ball club. Appreciate the time, and hopefully we'll see you in Grand Junction coming up on Memorial Day weekend. We'll get together this year and play some baseball over at Seplesia.
Yep, I hope so, too. Thank you for highlighting junior college baseball. There's a lot of people that do it, so I really appreciate it.
Well, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much, Anthony, and best of luck the rest of the way.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Take care. Anthony Gilich, coach of the... Defending champs.
Yeah, I was like,
didn't play last year, so you're still
right. Yeah, you're defending still, champs.
You're still the king until they knock you off the throne, right? You're still the defending junior college World Series champion. So enjoy the conversation with him. Has another really good ball club. Boy, they can pitch it, and you know, in that league, you know, which you know, play with the Wood Bats. That you know, the offensive numbers are really good when you look at it for Central Arizona too. They have outstanding pitching and hitting. That's why they're the number one team in the nation. Don't forget, we'll have the Alpine Junior College Baseball World Series Memorial Day weekend. It all starts. And hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed, we'll have 75% capacity, Seplesia. If things keep going the way they are right now, we'll hope that's the case. We'll have every game right here on the Team CMU, or Team, excuse me, the Team Sports Network covering the Alpine Bank Junior College World Series starting Memorial Day weekend. All right, 9:35. Did we get a winner? For who is it?
We did. Chuck.
How about that?
Oh, sorry. I keep forgetting.
And now, it's ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
I forgive you.
I remembered to run the contest itself, so there's.
Let's see, that was your part. You did, and I almost forgot, and you mentioned it.
Yep,
so
the man who helped the Rockies beat the Mets in Colorado's first ever opening day win, not home opener. First ever win on opening day was when Dante Bichette hit the walk-off dinger against the Mets. The tying runner of that home run, when Joe Girardi, Chuck, correctly identifying the skipper of wherever he's managing now. He's the manager
is he
somewhere.
Philadelphia now?
Philly.
Yeah, he's in Philly now, yeah.
I knew he was in the National League East somewhere.
All right, quickly, a reminder about Rockies baseball. Season gets started today. Rockies hosting the World Series champion Dodgers, 1:30 with Rockies on deck right here on the team. Jack Corrigan and our friend Mike Rice. Well, Jack's our friend too, but Mike joins us on a more frequent basis. They'll have the call today from Coors Field, the Rockies and the Dodgers. And then tonight, it's the Nuggets and the LA Clippers on the team with pregame at 7:30, 8 o'clock tip for that one. All right, let's get quickly to this day in sports. And I've got to find out where my this day in sports went. Of course, you know, I happen to click it off, which is smart.
That's always
smart move on my part.
Yeah. I click the wrong tab every once in a while.
1938, Joe Louis knocks out Harry Thomas in the fifth round to retain the world heavyweight title. 1969, the Seattle Pilots trade minor league outfielder Lou Piniella to the Yankees. Piniella will go on to win Rookie of the Year after hitting .282 with 11 home runs and 68 ribbies. 1972, Major League Baseball players would go on strike for the first time. The strike would last for 12 days, forcing the cancellation of 86 games. 1978, Mike Bossy of the Islanders becomes the first rookie in NHL history to score 50 goals in a season. 1981, Wayne Gretzky breaks Bobby Orr's record for assists in a season by collecting his 103rd of the year. 1984, USC wins their second straight women's basketball national championship, beating Tennessee 72-61. Also, 1989, Bargiamotti replaces Peter Ueberroth as the commissioner of Major League Baseball. 91, Duke captures the first NCAA men's basketball national title, their first, defeating Kansas 72-65. Christian Laettner named the tournament's most outstanding player. And 2001, Notre Dame beats Purdue 68-66 to win the NCAA women's basketball tournament. All right, in the garage, NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. It finally got the dirt track race in Bristol in on Monday. after a weekend of torrential rain. We'll talk about that coming up next right here on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, and we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it is time to go racing with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod in the garage, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing and everything you need to know at MontroseFordNissan.com from the great state of Iowa. He joins us telephonically. NASCAR Fred, good morning, Fred. How are you?
Telephonically, through the magic of 21st century technology.
I would say middle of the pack 20th century technology. Something like
that. That's good enough.
Yeah, good enough. And of course, we got J-Rod in studio with us today. We are excited about the dirt track race in Bristol. Mother Nature had some other plans for it over the weekend with the rain and everything, but they got it in on Monday, and Joey Logano becomes the first driver to win on the Bristol dirt track in Monday's action.
So it turned out everything we knew was wrong.
Right.
So, talking about it last Thursday, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, they're probably going to be fighting it out for the win. Watch out for Austin Dillon. And I'll quote you, got it, these dirt ringers coming in too. Got to watch out for Mike Marler and these guys. Well, none of those were factors when it came down to it. It was really interesting. Joey Logano gets the win. Ricky Stenhouse, no surprise seeing Ricky Stenhouse up front. He's got a lot of dirt racing experience. Denny Hamlin up the front again. Daniel Suarez, that's who I was really impressed with in this race. The kid had not raced on dirt before. He hadn't run a car on a dirt track until about a week before this race. And he was up there all race long, finished second in both stages and finished fourth at the end. So it was pretty crazy. Good racing.
You know, it's funny, though, that we talk about the dirt boys that, you know, we think we're going to win the race. They all crashed out early. I mean, who would ever have thought that?
I mean, there's that one wreck that Christopher Bell spun and Kyle Larson ran into him, and that took both of them out right there. I think that was early in the second stage. So that really, really changed the picture of things. And some guys that stepped up that you weren't really expecting to see.
I think it was interesting to see, too, that, it sucked. I mean, to be honest, the truck race, I was really looking forward to the truck race. They were able to run, two laps, and they had to call the race due to the mud. They couldn't see. Everybody was complaining about, just take the windshields out. Well, that's a whole heck of a lot of a mess to clean up after the fact. And, you know, with the windshields and stuff, it's a little bit different race. But able to get it run on Monday, and, man, what a show it was, though.
Yeah, and everybody was saying what a great job the track workers did, because that was, you know, that really threw them a curve. They worked so hard to get the dirt on the track and get it ready to go, and then of course the rains came, and they really did a good job of getting it cleaned up and getting it raceable again. It was an honest to goodness dirt track.
And how about Martin Truex? He jumped into a truck, wasn't expecting to win, wasn't expecting anything, but just to get seat time, as was a lot of the Cup drivers. And he ends up dominating the race and winning it.
And not only that, but he had a good shot at winning the Cup race, too. It was just came down to that last caution, the overtime. On the restart, he cut a tire and ended up at the tail end of the lead lap. I think he was 19th, but that didn't reflect how he ran. He apparently has a knack for this dirt track thing.
Well, along with the truck race as well, I mean, it wouldn't be like a classic old dirt track race unless there was, you know, some fisticuffs.
That was awesome.
You know, with John Hunter Nemechek and Matt Crafton going at it in the garage after the truck dirt race at Bristol.
Well, and in true NASCAR fashion, it wasn't just them. Their crews got in on the scuffle, too. So that's how you really do it upright. Get everybody's crew guys scrapping, too. I remember thinking about, a few years ago at Bristol when Kevin Harvick and Ricky Rudd got into it, got the young guy and the veteran. And that's kind of the case here. And, it just seems appropriate, don't you think?
Well, and I think, too, you know, we've seen it. There was a fight a couple races back, these guys are trying to. I mean, and you see it in the lower divisions. It's not like it doesn't happen in Cup. It does happen in Cup. But these guys are trying to fight for what they believe in and what they are and what they stand for. And, you know, John Hunter thought that, you know, people weren't paying attention. Their spotters weren't watching the race, you know, and right. he's trying to make a point. And sometimes you overstep your boundaries. Sometimes you got to let them know how you feel.
It does happen in Cup sometimes. I remember Matt Kenseth and somebody going at it between the haulers, Clint Boyer running across the garage area to try to get to Jeff Gordon. It does happen. It kind of is. And, you know, Tony Stewart, too, of course. Yeah.
No, not but, Tony.
No, he doesn't. He never had a temper, right? Smoke was always okay. He was never. He was always cool. When cool heads were called upon, Tony Stewart's that guy, right?
Yeah, such a laid-back guy.
Now, we of course, the weather's played a role. Obviously, it did in Bristol in terms of delaying the race and everything. But NASCAR, yesterday, they announced they'd be testing out rain tires at Martinsville. So could we start to see some NASCAR races when actually in the rain?
Possibly. That's the idea. They're talking about the shorter tracks like Bristol and Martinsville. I don't think they're ever going to find a way where they can race in the rain at Talladega or Pocono, but on the shorter tracks, it might be feasible, and that's what they're going to try to find out. They got Kyle Larson and Chris Buescher. They're doing some testing on their next generation car anyway, so they figured they'd throw in some tire testing. It's a little bit different rain tire than what they're using on the road courses, but they're thinking that might be something. Maybe not race in the rain, but at least be able to get back to racing quicker if it rains and the track gets wet.
I wonder if they're going to have water trucks in the corners just sprinkling water on the corners. Is that how they're testing this out? I mean, is Mother Nature going to cooperate and they're going to say, hey, you guys need to rain on
Yeah, because normally you don't want it to rain. And now it's like, yeah, we'd like a little bit of rain so we can test these bad boys out.
Got my rain tires on. Can we wet down turn three a little bit?
You know, and not to jump back, but, you know, thoughts on Bristol going to dirt next year?
Yeah, they announced before the race was over that we are going to do it again next year. The spring race at Bristol will be on dirt again.
Hoping to make some money with the seats, obviously, and two, the date hasn't been set yet, but we know that it is going to be a dirt race. I think it's awesome. I'll be honest with you, not to change it, but I think it's an awesome race. I think it brings out the different people, and people at Harvick was one too. He's like, he did not want anything to touch with this Bristol dirt race, and after the fact, I think he was like, it wasn't so bad.
Okay, it was kind of fun, actually, I'm with you guys on it. I'd like to see them add one more. I think it'd be cool if they had two dirt track races a year in NASCAR.
I don't think
it's going to happen, but it'd be kind of cool.
Well, you and I, Jim, we've talked for years about wanting to see these Cup guys run on dirt and maybe even get a dirt track race in the playoffs to have the whole spectrum in there, but they finally ran a race on dirt course, and I really don't think it disappointed. I think it lived up to the billing. It was well done, and just kind of got to see some different guys in the spotlight, and exploring some different driving techniques and stuff. We definitely look forward to seeing it again.
Yeah, I want to see next this coming year where it's we're out of COVID, fans are there. Weather conditions are good, track conditions are better, where it just runs at the normal time and there's not anything impacting it from an attendance standpoint or weather track standpoint, and see what the reaction is. I think it's going to be fantastic when they can do this again coming up in 2022.
You know, and that is the talk too, is they're trying to figure out where it's not raining or snowing for this, especially on Bristol. I was reading about it this morning. I think we're on to it. I think maybe next year, hopefully, maybe they do find a dirt race that we can have in the playoffs. I think it would be great. We put the road courses in there.
So why not a dirt track race?
A Saturday night dirt track race.
Oh yeah.
Under the lights.
Go old school, classic old school dirt track racing.
That's the ticket.
All right.
I'd drive across the country to go see that.
I might hop in the car and go with you, Fred, to check that out.
Join the caravan.
So off this weekend because of Easter, back on April 10th, and it's the Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 500 in Martinsville. We'll talk more about it next Thursday, guys, but just some quick thoughts about Martinsville coming up.
I think guys are going to be relieved. I mean, the dirt track thing was a lot of fun, but it's kind of back to business now and then and more familiar, because there was, I mean, everything was just a big question mark with the dirt race. You had no notebooks to go by or anything, and now we're back to familiar territory. And you know, it's a short track. Things are in the driver's hands, and I think everybody's looking forward to that one, really.
Yeah, I think the chrome horn comes back out. I mean, I agree with everything you said, Fred. I think the chrome horn comes out. We definitely know in the truck race that John Hunter has got a memory bank. That's what he's talking about. So in the truck race, you got that. But yeah, I think, you know, it's where you are. We're back to normal. We're back to let's go racing. You know, we kind of had a fun weekend. Well, now you got a weekend off here, but, you know, fun weekend, weekend off, and now let's get back to racing.
All right, we'll have predictions. Talk more about Martinsville next Thursday. Both you guys have a fantastic Easter. Appreciate you coming in. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, that is In the Garage, NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Now, just a better dealership, pricing and information at MontroseFordNissan.com. By the way, point standings heading into this weekend, of course, which, like we said, is an off weekend because of Easter. Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Brad Keselowski, your top five in the points right now. All right. Do we have time for garbage time? Do you have anything for garbage time?
No, I do not.
You do not?
No. Although I do think that for the NASCAR playoffs, they should do like a driving pentathlon. You got like open wheel, road course, oval, dirt course, and then throw in one more. And whoever finishes the best out of all five races is your champion. Who's the best racer? Not just who has the best team on these particular courses.
Right.
That's just me. I like chaos, though.
So. You are a...
I'm an agent of chaos.
You are a big-time agent of chaos. Interesting.
Like they'll have the coaching septathlon?
They'll never do it.
But we have the coaching septathlon, you know, with the laundry and grass cutting and bus parking. Yeah.
Let's get to the text line. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line. Quick reminder, we will not be here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Taking Good Friday off. Back with you on Monday. From Colin, when will JUCO tickets be available to purchase for the World Series? Visited JUCO.org yesterday. Only found blank pages and trying to purchase. And so basically, it's going to be...
We're looking at June 3rd is when we're selling tickets. That's my April Fool's joke.
Very, very soon. And Colin, you know, obviously keep listening to the station. We'll let you know. But they hope to have tickets up very, very soon. I think probably another week or two, you can probably find tickets on sale there. And let's see. I think that's pretty much it. Have a very happy Easter and a good Friday. See you back here Monday.